May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam wa la Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa a'udhu billahi min shaitan urjim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayki ya Rasulullah, wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Nurallah. MashaAllah, viewers of Madri channel, welcome to Spiritual Cures. I'm going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, that send salat to me, wherever you may be, for your salat reaches me. Allahu Akbar, Allah. If you send salawat upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshaAllah, azwajal, it will reach the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it reaches the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only will it reach there, but your name and your father's name will be mentioned in the court of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I know a lot of people that watch these programs on Madri channel, you know, have an admiration for Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawah Islami. And a lot of people, you know, when they perform, do any good work in Dawah Islami, they go on a 12-month Madri kafla, whatever they do, then just to encourage them, just to please them, just to like praise them or reward them, in fact, then, you know, we present their names in the court of Amir al-Sunnah. And how happy do people get when their names are presented in the court of Amir al-Sunnah? But can you imagine? Can you imagine if our names are presented in the court of our guide, our master, Muhammad Mustafa, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I pray to Allah azza wa jalla that we all make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak so our name can be mentioned in the court of the courts, the best of all courts. If you've got any illness that you want a wazifa off the Sahur Ramadan, inshallah, he will give us a spiritual court, a wazifa that we can read. And without a doubt, you know, these wazifa are beneficial. There's no side effects of them. In fact, they are rewarding because these wazifas you are going to be, you know, beginning with sending salawat upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We just mentioned earlier on just one of the benefits of doing that. The end of the wazifa will be with salawat upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whatever wazifa he gives you, it'll either be a name of Allah, a Quranic ayat, or some kalma sharif, inshallah. And hopefully, you'll be rewarded for that as well. So, definitely no side effects and benefits, inshallah. We're going to talk a little bit about a certain topic today that I want to mention to our viewers on Madri channel. And that is the the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, to understand what the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal is. And it's narrated that Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala stated that one day the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to them and he said that, you know, Jibreel Islam has just come to me. He's come to me and said to me that a servant of Allah worshipped him on the peak of a mountain for 500 years. For 500 years he was worshipped. And the width of the height of the mountain was 30 arms length. Allah Azza wa Jal would bring forth for him a stream as wide as a finger from which sweet water would flow. The water would gather at the bottom and this person, he would come to the bottom of the mountain and there'd be a tree there in which a huge pomegranate would grow and that pomegranate would grow and then what happened, he would hear that pomegranate and he'd go back up and he'd worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And this continued for 500 years. Eventually, obviously, the angel of death came and visited him. And what happened then was, when he was in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal said to the angels, through my mercy, take him into paradise. Through my mercy, take him into paradise. And the worshipper, because he'd been worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal for 500 years, he said, ya Allah, through my ibadah, through what worship I've done, because of that I should be entering paradise. And again, Allah Azza wa Jal, through my mercy, take him into paradise. And again the worshipper said, through my ibadah, the worshipping that I have done, because of that I am entering paradise. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla said, okay, you know, pay me for the blessings that I have given you. And it stated that for that blessings of one eye, Allah Azza wa Jalla took 500 years of worship off him for the blessings of one eye. And then obviously he had no good deeds left. So Allah Azza wa Jalla then said to the angels, take him to the hellfire. Take that person to the hellfire because he has no good deeds left. There's no, I'm not going to show my mercy upon him. And then the worshipper said, ya Allah, through your mercy, take me to paradise. And we come and we learn from this, views of the channel, that, you know, it is only through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that we attain paradise. And you read about the pious people of the past, and the pious people of the past, when they would write their kalam, they would write their poetry, They would, in the poetry, they would write that if, you know, the rivers of mercy are flowing everywhere. But if we get one drop of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, then inshallah with that one drop of mercy, we will be successful. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that we strive and work hard to seek the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Become aware of those actions that can give us the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Become aware of those actions that can cause displeasure to Allah Azza wa Jal, which can cause us to not receive that mercy. And we hear here that no matter how much ibadat you do, no matter what good deeds you have done, it is still through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that you will enter paradise. And if we look at our lives, what happens is, and we've said it many, many times before on Modern Channel, that throughout our lives, what we do is, we remember our qurbanis, we remember our zakat, we remember our umrah, we remember our hajj, we remember how many times we sat in itikaf, we remember how many Quran parts we read during the month of Ramadan, we remember how many Quran parts we read through all these, and we think because we're doing all these things, we've got it made. You know, people don't say it, but they think, you know what, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay, I'm living a good life. You know, and then they think to themselves that I'm, you know, inshallah, you know, I've got a certificate, but you haven't. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. And at the same time, I also said, I've said it many times on Madhuri Channel, that you remember all of your good deeds. Yeah, you remember you went on Hajj in 2015. Do you remember the sins that you committed today? And the other thing that you also need to bear in mind, that all of them good deeds that you did, how do you know whether they were accepted in the court of Allah? We don't know this. And because we don't know this, we should always be seeking and striving to improve ourselves. Seeking and striving to get the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Seeking and striving to get the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And avoiding those things that are going to cause displeasure to Allah.
We tend to do the opposite of what the pious predecessors used to do. You see, we do the good deeds and it's like, you know, when you're earning something or something, you're saving something. So you're like stacking it away and you're thinking, yeah, I've got a nice amount. So we're stacking it and remembering it. Whereas the pious predecessors did totally the opposite. Yeah. They do good deeds and they said, forget about them. Yeah. And remember the sins so then you can ponder over them.
But I was remembering as well that the pious people of the past, they used to do dua for 6 months after Ramadan. That Ya Allah accept our good deeds. Yeah? Because they'd done good deeds, but they didn't know whether they're accepted. We do good deeds and they... done, sorted, in the bank, yeah? And then they would pray for 6 months, Ya Allah bless us with the month of Ramadan. So like you rightly said, the people of the past, they would focus on the errors, the mistakes. Whereas we think we've got it made, we think we've done good. Who's to say that, you know, can you say that your hajj is better than the hajj of the pious predecessors? Can we say our umrah, our Quran, our recitation, our ibadat, our talawat is better than them? No, it's not. And yet they were concerned. They were concerned. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he said that if only one person is going to enter the hellfire, then I am afraid that that person will be me. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the second righteous Khalifa, that person who through the lifetime of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was guaranteed paradise, but he still had this fear in him. He still had this fear in him. But he also said, I believe in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla is such that if only one person is going to enter paradise, then inshallah that person will be me. So we have to get this right balance in our life. And what happens is we don't have fear. We don't have fear nowadays. We fearlessly, you know, disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla. We fearlessly commit sins. We have no fear of what's going to happen. And as a result of that, we are going further and further away from the mercy of Allah. So we're further and further away from our true purpose in life. One thing to say about, I keep on talking about recently is that one thing I can't get my head around is, mashallah, you're a Madani, you've done our Dars in Islami course. And so if I was to ask, you know, our viewers that, you know, what are the fiqh masail of inheritance? And if you've got three boys and two girls, and da da da, what is the calculations? We won't be able to do it. Yeah, we'd have to either, you know, ask a scholar, get a few books out and give it a go, and even then we won't be sure unless we ask a scholar.
Darul Iftah.
But any Muslim above that is a baligh, that is sane, you ask that Muslim, is Salah fard upon you? And nobody, I don't think, I've not met a child that say, no, I didn't know. And then the question comes, Tasawwur Bhai, why? If we all know, as Muslims, we all know it. I know sometimes brothers delay it. Sometimes there's a question about whether you've got that khushu in your salah, whether you've got that piety in your salah, whether you've got that quenching your thirst in your salah. That's different. But we all know salah is fard upon us. We all, you know, we should all try and perform our salah. The question is, why are we not doing it? Are we just so fearless?
that we don't care anymore.
That's what you're, in your actions, that's what you're indicating, right?
It's indicating that you've got no fear inside you.
Yeah.
And then you think to yourself, well, then how? You know, I mentioned it this morning on the channel.
Two things, isn't it? One, either you're fearless, so you don't fear, or the second thing is that maybe the punishment you're seeing, that's not fair. Now, a lot of these are you're going into danger zone.
It is very dangerous zone, isn't it? It is very dangerous zone. But I'll tell you a story that I heard many years ago, and I remember it this morning on Madhuri Channel, that nowadays a lot of people are working from home since the COVID. But I remember about 10, 15 years ago, I met somebody who'd reverted to Islam, literally online, yeah? And so he lived in the middle of nowhere. He lived in the middle of nowhere, and when he lived in the middle of nowhere, he didn't have a lot of interaction with Muslims. But he got the books, and he attended events, he travelled a couple of hours to attend events, and I met him once. And this was about 6 months after he'd accepted Islam. And he said to me, "Brother, I want to ask you a question, but the answer is no." So I said, "You're asking me the question, and you already know the answer, so why are you asking me the question, yeah? No, I just want to make sure that, you know." I said, okay. "What's the question?" He said, "The question is, I've heard, I don't believe it, I've heard that there are some Muslims who don't pray the Salah. That's not true, is it?" You know, Tasawwur bhai, honestly, I didn't know where to look. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, my face dropped kind of thing. And he read my face, yeah? And when my face dropped, his face dropped. He went, "Eh? What? No, Halabai, no, I don't, but, no. And it's like, it just,
it can't,
and I'm like looking down thinking, what do I say? I can't say anything to this. What can I say to that? You know, and to this day, I've not had an answer. I've not been able to, like, if he was stood in front of me now, I would still not be able to answer this question. Why? He just, in his mind, it was just like,
unacceptable.
It's just,
it?
Yeah. You know, in his logic was, and it is a true logic, his logic was, how can they be Muslims if they don't pray the Salah? "Salam, my name is, and my son is named this, age 23. I'm thinking of getting my son married to daughter of somebody. Would you like to do istikhara for my son, please? Also, my son also feels very tired and fatigued also, has a lot of different general life issues coming up with him. Just to want to know what could be wrong with him. The code word is Chuff. CH. Sure. So they've given the details. I'll send you the details of who they are, who they want to get married to. So they want the istikhara for that. And they've also said that the son also feels very tired and fatigued also, and has a lot of different general life issues coming up with him, and just to know, want to know what could be wrong with him." Coming back to the topic, we would mention that that person there, 500 years of his ibadah, his worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal in solace, was taken away from him when he did not realize it is the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that enters him into paradise. And if we look around us and we think about the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal has given to us, and if, and I don't know if this is the right word, if we were, had to recompense for the blessings, you know, how much is the blessings of an eye? How much is the value of eyesight? How much is the value of speech, of hearing? You know, if you were to say to somebody that has lost their eyesight, "Give me this," they would give you everything that they've got. Everything that they've got, just to get their eyesight back. So we have been blessed by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us all these blessings. Allah Azza wa Jalla showered us with this mercy to have these things. Allah Azza wa Jalla showered me with the mercy to be able to, you know, speak to you today, to come here to the studio today. This is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. That Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us this blessing upon us. That you can see us, I can't see you, but I can see the camera, but I can speak. It's the fact that we don't realize how Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us. And then what happens is we go into the border, which the Tasawwur bhai was mentioning, where we are, rather than being thankful, we are the opposite of that. And when we come onto the opposite of that, and we start asking why have I not got this? Why have I not got that? Why am I like this? Why am I like that? And we even get into physical things. Why am I, you know, you're two siblings, one of them's got, you know, beautiful eyes and the other one's not. Yeah, and one says, why are my eyes not like my brother? Why are my eyes not like my sister? Why has my sister got a nose like that and I've got a nose like this? And you're asking all these why questions. Why is that person? I work harder than him. How is it that he can afford a big house and I can't afford, I'm done. And all these whys. And we don't realize that we're getting all of these blessings. Allah is blessing us with all of these things. And we're still questioning Allah. And the mindset, the Tasawwur bhai, the problem is we look up there.
I was going to mention that, however, you know, the blessings, because we've been given them and we've got them for granted, we don't value them. It's like you mentioned somebody that regarding seeing and mentioned the eye. If it's like if somebody, for some reason, you know, whether his eyes hurt or for any reason he couldn't see for a day or two, and then he regains his eyes, he'd be able to
appreciate
them then. But then that same person, if he's speaking to somebody who is blind, for example, from birth, now that person has never seen. Now, if he speaks to that person who's been deprived of eyesight, he would be able to tell you the value and what he would give
to get that.
Just to be able to even see maybe for a day. And that's how he would value, you know, how would value. Now, the other thing is we take for granted, we don't
value
appreciate
it.
And value it. Then the other thing is we don't look down, we look up. So, like, for example, the house example you've given, somebody's got an average house and somebody's got a bigger house, and he says, how come he's got a big house and I haven't got it? Whereas, realistically, you should be thankful of what you've got and not look up there. You should look down at somebody who's worse off. For example, your house is made of bricks, for example. And,
people,
you know, and there's people who are living in, you know, clay houses, etc. You know, if you look at some countries.
I think as well, you know, you mentioned something that's very important. You know, like, because we've got things, we don't appreciate the value of them.
Definitely.
And, you know, we don't appreciate the value of Iman. I mean, I don't know if in your area of Pakistan, but in a lot of the areas where I go into Pakistan, they have load shedding.
Yeah.
And there they also have gas problems as well, yeah?
Yeah.
And they also have water problems as well.
Yeah.
So when you come back here, you appreciate electricity. You appreciate
Definitely.
Gas, you appreciate, because we've got it here all the time. We take it for granted. In the same way, we don't appreciate our Iman. Because the majority of us were born with it.
Yeah, got it.
We've not had to do anything to achieve it. We've not had to put any sacrifices in place of it. And the other thing that we don't appreciate, that's about, is knowledge. Alhamdulillah, yeah. you spent 6 years here, yeah, studying in Jamatul Madina. Now, although, you know, there have been many students who say that was hard, yeah, and it was hard. But I remember reading an incident where a person, he traveled to Egypt. Now, it didn't say where he was, but he traveled to Egypt to listen to one hadith. And when he got there, and he went to the place where the scholar was to give him this hadith, the person said, okay, I'll tell you this hadith on one condition. You fast for a whole year.
No.
And you know what happened? The person fasted for a whole year. Why? You know, the book was about the hadith, actually. But I stopped there thinking, oh my God, this guy, this person has traveled to a different country. And it wasn't as if he could get on a Boeing 747.
Yeah.
He traveled to a different country, walked, camel back, whatever it was. He gets there. And then when he gets there, the guy says to him, the person says to him, fast for a whole year. And what happens nowadays, we don't value the knowledge of Islam so much. If someone comes to you and says, Tasavarabai, can you please explain to me this? You say, give me 2 minutes. Let me just finish a cup of tea and I'll tell you. Forget that. I ain't got time for that. I'll go and ask somebody else. Yeah. This is what happens. We don't value these things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. And the reason maybe we don't value them is because we've given them, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them to us with ease. You know, you look at the people of the past, the sacrifices they made. You know, we've all heard the story about the companion, Hazrat Bilal, the struggles and strides and the punishments he faced to stay on the path of Islam. We all hear about the martyrs in the plains of Badr, the plains of Uhud. Those martyrs, they give up their lives. Why? So that the deen of Islam could come to us today. What sacrifices have we made? We can't even sacrifice getting out of bed in the morning and going to the masjid for Fajr. You know, this is where we've become so, I don't even know what the right word is, but we've become so lazy or so complacent or so thinking that, you know, there's nothing to worry about. I've got another wazifa here. Can you also please give me a wazifa for protection from enemies, evil eye and enemies? So like I was saying, we've become so, I don't know, complacent. I don't know if the complacent is the right word. And because we become complacent and we don't value what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us, we don't realize the blessings that have been bestowed upon us. And as a result of that, what happens is we don't value it. And we don't realize the importance of it. And we don't realize that why Allah Azza wa Jalla has created us. But coming back to the mercy of Allah, just to understand the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, if we understand the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then we can work towards it. It is stated that a Bedouin came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to him, O Messenger of Allah, who will bring the creation to account? Who will bring the creation to us? Who is going to bring us to account? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, Allah azza wa jalla will do this. The Bedouin then asked the question, will Allah azza wa jalla himself do this? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, yes. Upon which the Bedouin smiled. The Bedouin smiled and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him the reason behind him smiling, to which he answered, when someone generous gets authority over someone, he forgives. When someone generous calls to account, he pardons. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Bedouin has spoken the truth. Know that there is nobody more generous than Allah azza wa jalla. He is the most generous of all. And we need to understand this. That Allah azza wa jalla, and I was reading yesterday, first of all, why that spending in the way of Allah, that we are the slaves of Allah. We are the slaves of Allah. We are the bondsmen of Allah. We are the creation of Allah. And that wealth that Allah azza wa jalla that we have is from Allah. So when we spend it in the way of Allah, we're giving it back to our Creator.
It's like, how about if you lent me your car, for example, and I, you know, a day or two, whatever we agreed on, like I asked you for 2 days, for example, and then, you know, 2 days go by and you come back and you'll say to me, can I have my keys? You know, can I have my keys back? I should have no reluctance.
Should have no reluctance.
There you go.
But we do. Yeah. No. I need to keep this car. I'm not giving you back. I need it. And again, we look at how people, you know, are not willing to spend. And again, if you look at the pious people of the past, that they would not think. Jita Savarwai, I've got one here. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Please, can you suggest a wazifa for our family, please? Our father passed away. May Allah azza wa jal grant him the highest place in Jannah. Ameen.
Ameen.
He passed away in December 2020. Since our father's death, we have been experiencing difficulties with ill health and sadness. There are three sisters. My elder sister marriage broke. I am ill, and my younger sister is also ill. My elderly sister is very worried for us. Please suggest some du'as to read for the whole family. Jazakallah. Thank you in advance. May Allah azza wa jalla bless you all.
Amen.
So basically, I think maybe it might have been a good idea for them to do istikhara as well, really, wouldn't it? So this sister, inshallah, he will give you some sort of wazifa, inshallah, some du'as that you can read. But I would advise the sister to get istikhara done, not just for yourself, but for your whole members in the house. Inshallah, the Savarabai will try. We got the wazifa of the day.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In regard to today's wazifa, Harabai, we have people, you know, whether they've started a task and, you know, they won't, you know, it's not getting complete. They have household problems, similar to, like, you
similar
know,
to this similar particular sister,
you
yeah.
mentioned. So this particular spiritual cure, the wazifa which we've got for today, it includes the divine help of Allah Azza wa Jal. So what other helper can you get
Allah
better than our Creator? So with this particular wazifa, it mentions that when you wake up in the morning, you recite this particular wazifa 20 times, and the divine help of Allah Azza wa Jal is in all your works then, inshallah. So it's very simple. Ya Muqtadiru. Ya Muqtadiru. Ya Muqtadiru. So when you wake up in the morning,
Ya Muqtadiru.
Durood Sharif before and after, like we always mention. And just recite this Ya Muqtadiru 20 times, I think. Maybe 30 seconds. Khalidai, we probably.
Yes, so I'm going to take a picture of this. I would advise the viewers at home that get your camera phones out, take a picture of what's on the screen now, and make a habit of that. I've just taken the picture, by the way. It's on my phone now. Inshallah, I'll make the intention of reading this on a daily basis.
It's for help. But look, we ask our friends to help us. We ask our relatives to help us.
Subhanallah.
What better help can we get Allah than our Creator?
Allahu Akbar. Divine help granted. Whoever invokes this 20 times upon waking up from sleep, the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla will receive the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Teague, okay. You got the wazifa of the day on the studio. And I think, you know, whenever you are given a wazifa of the day, then take a picture of that. And at the same time, you know, whenever wazifa Tasavvurbai gives for any illness, then try and remember it and make a note of it. Because you might not have that illness, you might not have a headache, an earache, or stomachache, or whatever it is that the wazifa is given for. But you can remember that, and you'll meet people and they can benefit from it as well. And make sure you get the correct pronunciation of the Savarbai, you record it properly, and pass this information on to other people. So if other people can benefit, inshallah, it's a great thing. Okay.
Inshallah. One of the messages, I was waiting that once we get the wazifa of the day, then inshallah, I mentioned. Okay. So one of the messages which we received, somebody wanted two wazifas. They wanted one for evil eye and one for protection against enemies. So in regards to evil eye protection, recite La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah 60 times.
And 60.
60. Perform dam upon the person who is inflicted. Inshallah, that will remove evil. I think here they're probably referring to removal of evil eye. In regards to protection from enemies, it mentions recite this particular spiritual cure 30 times daily. Durushi before and after, and it mentions that you'll gain victory over your enemy.
Okay?
So 30 times, Ya Qabidu, Ya Basitu. So here, Qaf, Alif, Ba, and Zod. Ya Qabidu, and then Ya Basitu, which is a Ta at the end, not a Ta.
Okay, mashallah. Coming back to the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the ways of attaining the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We know that we need that mercy. It is only going to be through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla that we are going to achieve paradise. But how can we get it? How can we get it? Number one, obviously, is it's performing those deeds that Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know, instructs us to do. And number one, I'm going to mention, I think, how many have I got here? I've got five or six here. I'm going to try and cover these before the end of the program. Number one is engaging in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah Azza wa Jalla has said that when a person remembers me, I am with him. If he remembers me whilst alone, I also mention him alone. If he remembers me in a gathering, I make mention of him in a better gathering. If he comes a handspan's distance close to me, my mercy becomes an arm's length closer to him. If he comes an arm's length closer to me, my mercy becomes two arm's length closer to him. And if he comes walking to me, my mercy comes running to him. Allahu Akbar. So engage in those activities that can bring you closer to your Creator. You know, do we engage in the remembrance of Allah? And this remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla is not just necessary doing the zikr that, you know, Tasawwurbai gives us these wazayas and everything. It's not just that, but pondering over the creation. Pondering over the creation and looking around. Looking around at the hills, the rivers, the moon, the stars. And pondering over that. But at the same time, you're sat in your home and think, well, I've got no hills here. But look at what's in your home. Look at all the things that are in your home and think to yourself, where did these things come from? You may have, you know, a TV that you're watching a TV and this is surrounded by a black plastic, and most TVs are black. Where did that plastic come from? It came from oil and mercy of Allah. Where did the electronics come from? All of that stuff in there, it became all of them electronics, all the components that then came from the earth. All of these are blessings and mercy of Allah. There's not a single thing in your household. In your
food. How many, I mean, you can probably say, who doesn't drink milk? Now just look at milk and think, just pondering over where it came from.
Yeah.
Cow eating grass.
Well, you know,
how it, from the stomach of the grass, how it's produced. And
if you look at how it was produced, yeah. But you know, the other thing that always amazes me to this day is rice. Rice, it's a small thing, and yet someone came up with it. And you see, the other thing is Allah Azza wa Jal put the intellect into us, the individuals into us, to be able to use the creation of Allah, what Allah Azza wa Jal created for us, to benefit us. You know, we see trees. Who had the idea to cut down the trees and make wooden tables? Okay. You know, oil from the ground, you know, making petrol, diesel, and all the plastics and all these sort of things.
Okay.
All of these food elements that we see. You know, some of the root vegetables that come under the ground, knowing that they are there, knowing that you can eat them, and then, you know.
Water, we can't live without it.
Alhamdulillah, yeah, the blessings of water, the blessings of air. And when you look at the blessings of air, then think to yourself, the blessings of trees. The trees are those things that produce oxygen. You know, they're taking the bad air and they create oxygen for us to breathe. If it wasn't for trees, we'd have no air around us. So all of these things, the rain cycle, the sun, the moon, the stars, all of these, you know, pondering over the creation and thinking about the creation, thanking Allah for the creation is a form of zikr in itself. So we need to start pondering over the creation as well.
So before you go to sleep, Tasbih Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, a beautiful gift given by our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It was given to the beloved daughter, and then obviously it passed on to the Ummah. And that's the reason why it was called Tasbih Fatima. And this was the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requested for some housework help.
A helper.
And then this was granted, said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this will be better for you. Alhamdulillah, it was a beneficial thing for the whole Ummah. Alhamdulillah. And this, citing this whilst in bed, before you go to sleep, and you'll wake up fresh. Alhamdulillah, this is something I've practiced for a while. Alhamdulillah, no matter how late, you know, sometimes things do, you know, like go on and you end up going to bed quite late, but you do wake up fresh.
Actually, there's a lot of our viewers that don't know what tasbih Fatima is.
Yeah. Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times, or there is a narration of 33 times, and then you recite the kalima.
And that's
end.
Why we have.
You normally we mention the Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, then people do be aware of it, or majority of the people are aware of it. It's not knowing it by its name.
So people do it, but they don't realize they're doing it. And I think if you do it with the intention, and I think if you realize that this tasbih is, as the Sahib al-Madani mentioned there, that it was granted to the daughter of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. And you know, he mentioned there that it's there for fatigue, you know, to give you that energy when you wake up in the morning. And you know, the story, you know, the event that took place was that she requested, the daughter of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam requested some home help, you know, and I think some people were captured that time, and she requested that if any one of them could come and, you know, help me in my household. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, you know, have patience, and this tasbih for you is better than any home help that you can get. You know, so for especially our sisters that are home, that are struggling with the homework, with the work at home, or any of the brothers, like you said, that fatigue. And I think the Sahabai, mashallah, you make the habit of doing this. I will try to make an intention of doing this. I make good intentions to the Sahabai, but I don't always follow them.
A lot of people do actually recite this, but because there's other benefits. For example, you recite it after each salah, so it's got its own benefits there as well. But not everybody is aware regarding
this. The benefit as well.
Benefit,
mashallah. Views on my channel, we're carrying on. We're coming fastly approaching towards the end of the program as well, and I wanted to mention some of the things that will develop the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know, enable us to achieve the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the first thing that I mentioned was the zikr of Allah. The second thing is the fear of Allah. The fear of Allah, having that fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla inside us, that we are going to be held accountable. That person, he worshipped Allah Azza wa Jalla for 500 years, and yet he was not just straight into paradise. It was only through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So we're not going to live 500 years. So if a person can worship Allah Azza wa Jalla non-stop, literally, for 500 years, and it's only through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla that he's going to get there, what chance have me and you got? Now, that doesn't mean that we should stop and think to ourselves, oh, it's only going to be the mercy, so I don't have to do that. I can do whatever I want. You know? Because what you need to understand, viewers on the channel, is that, you know, I'll give you an example. If, you know, we have been created, Allah Azza wa Jalla created us to worship him. Your children, if you say to your children, right, say to your son that better go to the shop and get some milk, get some bread, and he leaves the home, and this is his job, this is his duty now, this is his responsibility. And when he's walking down the street, he gets distracted, someone's playing football, so he goes and plays football. Yeah, he goes and plays football. And then he remembers, oh, I need to get the bread and milk. And he comes back and starts walking. And then he sees someone playing cricket, and he goes and plays cricket. Then he sees someone going to the cinema, he goes to the cinema with them. And then what happens is he forgets. He forgets why he was out, and he comes home. He comes home to his dad, and his dad says to him, where's the bread? I forgot. And if you look at it, in our lives, that's what's happening to us. The purpose of our life is to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. And what's happening? Because we're getting engrossed in the dunya. We're forgetting our purpose. We're getting distracted here, distracted there. And this distraction is causing us to go away from our true purpose, our true goal in life. And so, you know, how do you expect, if that child, yeah, if he comes back, and he comes back a little bit late, or he doesn't come back with the right bread, or doesn't come back with enough milk, and at least he comes back and he tried to fulfill his mission, then the father will look him chill a bit, at least he did it, yeah? But if he comes back and said, I forgot, you know, what's going to happen to that son? He's not going to be in his good books, is he? In the same way, we can't say to ourselves, oh, just because of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know, so, you know, if I get the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I've got nothing to worry about. But then the question is, how do I achieve the mercy? How do I achieve the mercy? The zikr of Allah, the fear of Allah, doing those things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us to do. You know, to have the mercy of your parents, to have the love of your parents, you know, you need to do what they do. They ask you to do. Yeah. Your children, your parents love the children in the same way Allah Azza wa Jalla loves us more than any parents. But, you know, you need to fulfill your responsibility. And this responsibility is to do the ibadat. So the second one is the fear of Allah. And we need to develop that inside us, you know, to be able to, you know, Sayyidina Nadir bin Fa'ad, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, said that when tears flow from the eyes of an individual due to the fear of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jalla makes his face unlawful for the hellfire. If those tears flow over his cheeks, then he will neither be disgraced nor oppressed on the day of judgment. And if a grief-stricken individual cries with the fear of Allah among some people, then Allah Azza wa Jalla bestows mercy on those people due to his crying. When was the last time we cried Not because someone had passed away, but we cried in the court of Allah doing dua. When was the last time that happened? You know, that's why when you come to the weekly ishtamaf, that was something the Mubaliks would say to you, that try and get that feeling inside you. That if this is a golden opportunity to present yourself in the court of Allah, to look at yourself and say that, you know, this is my status, this is my, and that's why when they do the dua, they, you know, the person that's doing the dua, he'll say to you, Allah, I've got nothing, I am nothing, I've got no good deeds to present to you, I'm an open sinner, and I'm this and this and this, to make us realize that this is what we are nothing. And maybe by contemplating over that, maybe we can show that fear of Allah. And you know, the scholars have said that even if you cannot cry, then at least, you know, make a face that you are in that court, you're in that blessed court. And when you're in that blessed court, you should have that mindset that, you know, maybe, just maybe, this might be my last opportunity. You know, someone said that, live your life in such a way that this could be your last day. Mm-hmm. Pray your salah in such a way that this could be your last salah. Mm-hmm. Do dua in the court of Allah that this could be your last opportunity to do dua. And he went on to say, you know what? One of these days you'll be right. One of these days it will be your last day. One of these days it will be your last salah. One of these days it will be your last dua. And so we try to benefit from every opportunity that we get. The next thing that we need to do to develop the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal is to get an attachment to the Quran. Get that attachment to the Quran, the book that was revealed to us, the word of God, the word of Allah. You know, the Creator has sent us down His message. The Creator has sent us down His book, and we don't read that, we spend time on social media. And I was asking for 25% of the time you spend on social media to use that in reading the Quran. So please make a habit of reading the Quran, inshallah, and you get the blessings of that as well. The next thing that we need to develop in our lives to make in our lives that we can, inshallah, get the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, is getting that love and attachment for the masjid. Love and attachment for the masjid. Allahu Akbar. It is mentioned in the hadith that whoever loves the masjid, Allah makes him His beloved.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. But do we love the masjid? Do we love the masjid? And I've given this example before, and I don't know if I've shared it with the Sabar Bhai. But you know, in our lives, in our houses, because the masjid is the house of Allah. Yeah? But we all have our personal houses. And in our personal houses, there are three types of guests. The first guest is that person that you don't really want them to come to your house. And if they come to your house by mistake, then you want to get rid of them as soon as possible. You don't really like them, yeah? And they don't really bother coming to you. They've never been to your house. But if they make a mistake and come to your house, then you really want to get them. The second person is that person that you don't mind them coming to your house, yeah? But when they come to your house, you don't want them to stay too long. So you quickly say, you know, to the sister, make a cup of tea quickly, get the biscuit, and you quickly serve them. And then you'll kind of like make some sort of a hint that you've got somewhere to go, and you'll slowly try to get rid of them, yeah? So that's the second type of guest. Then there's the third type of guest, that when the person comes, you want them to stay as long as possible, yeah? And you say to the garwali, can you make some sweet dish? And don't make the tea too quick, I want them to stay longer. And you bring out the cake, and you bring out the biscuits, and they say, no, we've got a sweet dish, make. Oh, it's time to eat now, don't take your time, it's time to eat. Yeah, and you cry and keep that guest there as long as possible, yeah? And even if that guest wants to leave, you'll do everything in your, you know, ability to get that guest to stay in your house. The question is, what type of guest are we in the house of Allah? Are we that person that, you know, if we go there, it's by mistake? Or are we that person that when we get there, we're in there, we read our wells and out? Because we don't want to stay there. Or are we that person that when we go there, we just want to stay there? You know, we want to relax here. We want to read the Quran here. We want to do some extra ibadat here. We are a guest in the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla. What type of guest are we? And unfortunately, the majority was unfortunately the first type. That we don't see the door of the masjid. And that's why we see that our masjids are empty. And I joke with people, you know, that on the day of Jummah, the day of Eid especially, you know, Muslims have an import-export policy. On the day of Eid, we import thousands of Muslims into the area. And as soon as the Eid namaz happens, we export them. Yeah, we get rid of them all. But that's not the case, is it? But it seems like that, as if we're importing all of these Muslims, they come to the masjid, and then as soon as the namaz is finished, we export them, we get rid of them, kick them out of the country or something. But that's not the truth. The reality is that the Muslims are still there. So why is it that the Muslims are there, and yet they're not in the masjid? And yet they're there for Eid, they're there for Jummah, but they're not there for the five daily prayers.
Yeah, one of the brothers usually mentioned another example of this. Whereas a believer should be like a fish in water. So a person, when he's in the masjid, is like enjoying him because he's in the water. When he comes out of the masjid, he should be like the fish, like it's toppling left and right, and because he can't breathe, and it's suffering out of the water.
But the other thing though is that our deen has become a hobby. When we've got time, we'll read our namaz. When we've got time, we'll do this. When we've time, we've got to do this. Salah, my mother's name is this. My father's name is this. Whenever she attends any events, she gets ill. Can you please do istikhara? Is there any nazr ibad? Code name ZYYY.
Salah, one of the istikhara, somebody sent a message in for the istikhara, and they also wanted a vazifa. I think this is a family where a few of the sisters are ill, etc.
Yes.
And some worry. So this particular spiritual cure is protection from all types of calamities, so illnesses and problems as well, inshallah. So it mentions that after the time of Asr, recite this particular spiritual cure on a daily basis. Ya Wakilu.
Ya Wakilu.
So recite this after Asr 7 times, Drushi before and after. Inshallah, Azawajal, you'll be protected from all types of calamities, inshallah.
You know, these a lot of these wazifa that you give.
Yeah.
Can you, I mean, is there a few books that they can download on site and then read themselves?
Yeah,
you recommend some books for them?
Yeah, a lot of these spiritual cures are from some of the booklets which are written by Amir al-Sunnah. Obviously, they've got other references from where they've been taken from, but they've been compiled into some booklets which Amir al-Sunnah, alhamdulillah, have wrote. Madani Treasure of Blessings.
Yes, so that's one book.
That's one.
Again, I think that's quite a big, thick book, isn't it? Madani Treasure of Blessings.
That's quite thick. So it's actually got, it's a must for all households, I think, realistically, because it's got a lot of things. It's got fazail of surahs, why you should read them.
Etc. The blessing of reading these surahs, the blessing of reading them.
And it's actually got the surahs compiled in one place.
MashaAllah,
so if you want to recite the surah Yasin Sharif, it's there.
It's all
if you want to recite the surah Mulk Sharif, it's there.
And you can read
it. And it also gives you the blessings of it, with each. And then there's a lots of spiritual cures within there. There's also Asma'ul Husna, which is names of Allah Azza wa Jal, and their benefits as well. But Madani Treasure of Blessings is one. Then you've got some of the booklets I was going to mention, which Amir al-Sunnah writes, Scorpion on a Frog. Okay. A lot of these have been translated into English as well.
Alhamdulillah.
Then you've got Ailing Worshipper.
All of these books are available on our website, www.dawaslimi.net. Yeah. They're all available, confirmed in the language of English and in the language Urdu.
And many other
originally written Urdu, and these have been translated. The ones that have not been translated, he'll mention them, but them that he's mentioned so far, they're all been translated as well.
It's Sparrow and Blind Snake, that's the one.
Again, these booklets are all available, and like you said, I think it's a must for every household. And I think, you know, although you can download them completely free of charge, I think especially Madani Treasures of Blessings, I think that's the that's the one that you should have,
definitely,
you know, in the book format. So you can actually, you know, read it, and you can read it with people and read it with a family, and it's there, and you know, and mark the references, etc., and get the blessings of that book. And like the Sahib Madani said, that in the mashallah they are the surahs to read. What are the blessings of receiving these surahs? You hear that, oh, if I read Surah Yasin, this will happen, this will surah. And if you read the blessings, and you know, the advantage of reading them blessings is it will encourage you to read them surahs. When you read them wazaif that are in there, and you read the blessings of them wazaif, that it'll encourage you. Like they mentioned, the Tasbih Fatima, the blessings of reciting Tasbih Fatima. These are not for, you know, they're for everybody. You know, the fact that, you know, Tasbih Fatima in the night, read it before you go to sleep, and then when you wake up in the morning, you feel fresh. Who's not going to benefit from that? We can all benefit from that. So there'll be the wazaif in there, the surahs are in there, and if we read them and understand the blessings of them, then inshallah it'll encourage us to read them.
That's another. I was just going to mention that sometimes we're lazy in a lot of things, but sometimes when you read a particular benefit, one of them just touches the correct place, and you just
The one that you just mentioned, Tasbih Fatima. No, we'd read it.
Okay.
We read it after Salah, and to be honest, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But then that just kind of clicked with me. I thought, you know, how long is it going to take before I go to sleep?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I struggle to get to sleep. And maybe that'll help me get to sleep. So anyway, we're coming towards the end of the program.
Shall we give the reply?
Are you going to give the reply? Yeah, give the replies then.
Yeah, I've got it in front of me anyway. So I thought, because you said you couldn't find that group. Yeah, basically there was one of the first messages I think we received, and they mentioned regarding the marriage istikhara. We did mention to them that if they ring the office, so inshallah, they'll probably run the office and got the istikhara done for the marriage. But in regards to the son having problems and then the fatigue, we've given the wazifa for the fatigue, but the actual istikhara reply for that was azmaish. So it's just a test. So there's nothing, no evil eye, no black magic or anything like that.
Should they get Tavizat for that.
Ji, they can do, ji.
Okay.
So that was the reply for that one.
Viewers of Madhuri Channel, you've been watching Spiritual Cures. We've come to the end of the program today. Until the next time, keep watching Madhuri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah